Good morning. I love it when we have all the fellowship ahead of a service. It's really what makes our church special. Another thing that makes our church special is the talent that we have coming up with our young musicians. So I'd like to welcome Mackenzie Zacharias to come up, please. What a beautiful way to start a service. So I'd like you to take your bulletins and just take a moment to look at the back cover and just read to yourself the Bible verse from Luke that is on there. And now if you would open your bulletins to the call to worship, please. It's on the second last page. Sing aloud, O people. Shout out your worship in a loud voice. The Lord our God exalts over us with gladness, singing loudly as on a day of celebration. Rejoice, for God is our strength and our might, and has become our salvation. Now, in your hymnals, we will be now singing Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness.
And then insert in your back of your hymnal.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning again and welcome. It's great to be able to take the time to take a pause from the busyness of the season that is Christmas and be with one another and worship our Lord. Are there any guests in our midst that need to be introduced? Welcome. I do see some. They're not really guests, but I do see Albert and Esther joining us in worship this morning. Welcome here. Is there anyone else here that needs to be introduced or would like to be introduced? See an unfamiliar face in the front row here, but welcome, welcome. Don't mean to point anybody out, but you know, I know I just did. Anyone else? If not, then I'll welcome Fanny and Tracy. Oh, there they are for our first song.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came with wings as drifted snow, with eyes as flame. All hail to thee, O lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria. For now a blessed mother thou shalt be, all generations laud and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head, to me be as it pleaseth God, she said. My soul shall laud and magnify God's holy name, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Of her Emmanuel the Christ was born, in Bethlehem all on a Christmas morn. And everyone throughout the world will ever say, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
And now if the children would come down for a story that I'm sure Mrs. White has a wonderful story for you this morning.
Good morning. Are you guys getting excited about Christmas? It is a very exciting time. I wish I could come watch you practice. Maybe I'll stay down for a bit this morning and see. This morning, the grown-ups upstairs are going to be talking about trust. And I thought I would bring something along to maybe help you understand a little bit more about trust. Does anyone know what this is? It's my parka. Yes. Does anyone know how parka works? Ivan, how does a parka work? It keeps you warm. That's right. So if I go outside and leave my parka right here on the bench, I'll be warm. No. How does a parka work then? Because Ivan just said, I'm sorry, there's a little boy at my school. His name is Ivan, not Ivan. Ivan just said the parka will keep me warm. So what do I have to do? Yes. I have to put it on. That's right. And that's kind of like trust. God has given us a promise that we can trust Him. But that's not, it's just like if my coat was here on my bench and I went outside to play, would I be warm? No, I have to put on the trust that Jesus gave me. That means I have to believe it. I have to wear it. I have to have it with me all the time for it to protect me. So that's what the grown-ups are going to hear about today, about trust. So, and you guys are going to go downstairs and practice for our lovely show on Christmas Eve. Before we go, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us trust to wear in the world and keep it for us so we can be safe. Help us to remember that whatever Jesus says in the Bible is the truth, and help us to remember that we can trust in Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. Go have a good time.
And as the children file out, if you could take your blue hymnals, please, to number 212. O Come All Ye Faithful. Oh, and please stand.
We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3. O Come All Ye Faithful.
I do have one guest that I didn't see when I was up here because she's being hidden by another congregation member. That's my mom. Gloria Zacharias is here today. I knew she was thinking of maybe coming, but couldn't see her between all the wonderful people that are here today. So for announcements today, if you turn to your... we'll turn to the inside page here first, number 5 and 6, a couple of wonderful activities that took place last weekend, Aaron Fest and the ladies program. Ladies program raised some funds for Frohe Botschaft. And if you turn the page, some things happening this week. December 15th in the evening, refugee support group will be meeting here at church, 7 o'clock. Leanna would really like it if you had your annual report submissions in by December 15th as well. On the 16th, there will be an intergenerational Christmas potluck. There's sign-up sheets in the back, so please take some time to think about whether you want to attend that and join our youth. And number 11 is a very important one coming up. Of course, we have our annual general meeting next month in January. And we need some volunteers to fill some positions, as you can see. And please contact Chris McDonald if you would like to help in any of these ways. And so any other those kind of announcements that need to be made at this time? If not, if you turn to the previous page, we have Peter Sawatsky in Concordia Hospital, and Walter Fast is now recuperating at home. So numbers 1, 2, and 3 cover off some prayer requests and some thank yous from Walter and Helen. Hildy Weens is asking for your prayers as she waits for chemotherapy. And Jacob and Susanna Giesbrecht would like to thank the church for the Christmas hamper and the visits. We do have a mic if there's anybody that would like to share at this time.
Good morning. My name is Linda Titterton, for those of you who don't know me. I just have some exciting news. I'm going to get emotional. Dale's mom is doing very well. It was a rough time going to Medicine Hat, but she is a miracle. And I thank so many of you who knew we were going for your prayers. It's wonderful. We weren't sure what we were going to be preparing for when we arrived. And, so these are tears of happiness. And also, another good happy thing is on January 15th, Dale will have his ablation procedure done. And the doctor is very hopeful with a 90% chance that his heart can be permanently repaired and he can go off meds and have a normal, happy life again. I mean, he's having a happy life, but, you know, without the drugs.
My name is Stephanie Wenger, for those of you who haven't met me yet. As many of you will know, this Winnipeg is not my home. I'm from Edmonton, and my whole family is there. About 9 months ago, my grandpa was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, and he's been struggling. They've done some treatment, but it's rough going. So I ask for your prayers for my family as we move into Christmas. We are not traveling there until the end of January, so it's rough to be far away from him as he's struggling.
All right, at this time we will have a memorial hymn for John Martins. Under His Wings, that's in your Mennonite hymnal. That's the brown one, number 575.
Number 575 in the Mennonite hymnal. We'll sing verse 1 and 3.
Under His wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wrong, still I can trust Him, for I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, where from His love I can sever. Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely.
If you would all bow for a word of prayer, please. Dear Lord, we come to you this day as your servants, gathered to worship you. As we continue this Advent journey, help us to focus on you in the coming of your Son, Jesus. amidst the commercials, the cooking, and the company, help us to remember the true meaning of this season, that you would come to us in the flesh and forever live among us. Even as we share the joy we find in you with one another, we are mindful of those for whom joy is hard to find, those who don't have enough clothes, those who don't have enough food, those who do not have enough or maybe even any shelter, those who don't have enough protection and justice, and also for those whose loved ones are not close or who are not present. Help us to bear the good fruit that the Baptist called us to bear, being mindful of those around us who don't have during this season of giving. We pray this day for those longing for spiritual renewal. We would ask that your Holy Spirit invigorate us, that we may provide for others first before expecting them to provide for us. Come to this place and encourage us to do the work to which we were baptized. Help us to proclaim the good news in word and in deed. We pray this day, either out loud or in our hearts, for those dear to us. Gracious God, may the joy we find not be a commodity to be hoarded, but a gift to be shared with one another. We thank you for your presence among us, your creation around us, and your providence within us as we continue this blessed journey. Amen. Now I'd welcome Tracy and Shani back up as we take the offering.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear, in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven. Do you wonder as you watch my face, if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. together, be forever near me, breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven.
For our scripture reading today, I'll be first starting in the Old Testament with Zephaniah 3:14-20. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to you, say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. And at that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Our New Testament scripture is from Luke 3:7-18. And it is a story of, or a passage about John the Baptist. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. and with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them.
I know that some of you have troubles understanding me when I speak too fast. So if that happens, please raise your hand and I'll take that as a signal to slow down. In the Jewish collection of prophetic writings called the Nevi'im, we just call it the prophets, the entire book of the 12, or the minor prophets, fits on a scroll the same size as Ezekiel or Isaiah. One of these minor prophets is Zephaniah. Unfortunately, because he is labeled as minor, he often gets neglected. And I actually forgot he existed until I saw my lectionary readings. So who was Zephaniah? He was a prophet active in Judah during the time of Josiah. Josiah was the boy king who found a copy of the law in the temple and caused the people back to God. The two kings before Josiah, Amon and Manasseh, had allowed God's people to worship the Phoenician gods, Baal and Astarte, resulting in alien culture and different roles. Baal worshippers were known for their decadence, wearing fancy clothes, as compared to the modest clothing that the people of Judah traditionally wore. Josiah wanted to reform Judah, to put an end to the misuse of the holy places like the temple, and Zephaniah worked with Josiah in this reformation, preaching against corruption and for a return to simplicity. Zephaniah's book, the part before we read, starts with a warning about the day of the Lord, when God is going to punish the people worshipping idols. The judgment will extend beyond Jerusalem. The Philistines, Moabites, Ammonites, Ethiopians, Assyrians, and Ninevites will all face the judgment of the Lord. Then Zephaniah returns to Jerusalem, woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. But even though God is mad at Jerusalem, God will not abandon them. God promises through Zephaniah to purify and unite his people. They will serve God together. Finally, we get to the passage we read. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. And the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves, and promises to rescue the lame and gather the exiles. God promises to redeem them, to return them their honor, and restore them to the people of God that they were supposed to be. This Advent, we are using Mennonite Church Canada's Freedom Bound series. 2 weeks ago, we talked about justice as a road to freedom. We talked about First Nations and how we can extend justice to those who do not have it. Justice is rooted in relationship, and the intention is to make things as they ought to be. Last week, we talked about mercy as a road to freedom. This is the free gift we receive, even when we don't deserve it. Gary talked about the refugee crisis and how we can extend mercy to others. And this week, we are talking about trust as a road to freedom. The story of Zephaniah is one instance of a cycle that repeats itself over and over again in the Bible. This cycle is often called the biblical cycle of redemption. God calls a people, and they follow him for a little bit, but eventually they get distracted by something shiny like these idols. And they stop obeying the real God, and so God sends messages to them, calling them back to follow God. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they do not, and often they are left to deal with the consequences of their actions. Then they return to God's loving embrace, and the cycle repeats itself. The book of Zephaniah is one of these messages, these warnings, to change. Judgment is coming, but if they turn back to God, they will be able to ride out the judgment and become the people they are supposed to be. So how do we see the character of God here? God is a God that promises that even though the people of Judah do not follow the law, God still gives them the opportunity to come back. God extends mercy, like we talked about last week, even though they have done nothing to deserve it. But part of that mercy is trust. God gives them freedom to act. They can choose to continue on the road they are on, the road to destruction, or they can choose the path to freedom. This offering of a choice and hoping that they will make the right choice is trust. God knows that they could and probably will continue to ignore God, but God still makes the offer. Similarly, if you look at the other passage today, Luke 3 tells the story of John the Baptist. He's calling the crowd a brood of vipers and tells them to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, because if they don't, they will face judgment like a tree being thrown into the fire, a very similar message to Zephaniah. When they ask him what they should do to be repentant, John says, anyone who has two coats, share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to the youth about Advent and explaining what Advent was, and I used the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist came to prepare the people of Judah and Israel to for the coming of Jesus. And here we see Jesus. And so Advent is very similar to that. We are preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus that comes at Christmas time. So here we read about John the Baptist talking about Jesus coming. Jesus is going to collect the wheat and burn the chaff. People have a choice to repent or be like a tree getting cut down. God wants us to repent. It gives us an opportunity to make our own decision. We see this cycle again in choice in our spiritual lives. We decide to follow God, we live faithfully for a while, but then we forget and we need God. We forget that we need God, so we put our spiritual lives on the back burner and continue with our day-to-day existence. Eventually, we fall in hard times and we turn back to God. I'm not saying that everything is good when we are walking with God. Bad things are going to happen. And there's a whole field of theology called theodicy that examines this question. But God is always there for us and walks with us and comforts us as we struggle. And God lets us make this decision for ourselves. God gives us the ability to choose to follow him. God knows that we are going to fail, but the best thing about God is that he is always there for us, calling us and willing to welcome us back, like the prodigal father, lavishly welcoming home his son. So now let's look at a situation that we are called to extend trust. If you look at the criminal justice system, we see people who have broken the law, and following a court case are then put in prison. Prison is meant to serve four purposes. It is supposed to be preventative. As outsiders, when we see somebody breaking the law and having to face the consequences of a fine or prison, we in turn think, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And so we avoid making those actions. Secondly, prison is supposed to be punitive, punishing them for what they have done. We think bad people deserve punishment. Someone hurt me, so they should go to jail. Third, putting people in prison is supposed to act as containment. We want to know that we don't have to worry about dangerous criminals roaming the streets. And finally, it is supposed to be rehabilitative, correcting the illegal behavior so in the future they would do the right thing. Releasing prisoners is an act of trust. We are hoping that they will become law-abiding citizens. And joining the rest of society, we are trusting that they receive their punishment, that they are no longer dangerous, and that they are now rehabilitated into society. However, not every prisoner released stays free. According to a study by Correctional Services Canada, while 72% are successfully rehabilitated, 12% of prisoners have their parole revoked because of a technical offense. So they have done something that's against the probation, but not necessarily against the law, like drinking or using the internet. Those are some conditions. 13% get rearrested for new offenses. They have broken the law again. So a quarter of all parolees return to prison before their parole ends. And this high rate of recidivism makes it hard to trust prisoners. Why should we let them go if so many of them are going to be offended? my grandparents, Don and Ruth, living in an assisted living home in Cambridge, Ontario, very similar to Bethania. Once a month, female inmates from a local prison come and join the residents for meals in the cafeteria. My grandparents have built a relationship with one of these inmates, and she calls them Mom and Dad because they are the parents that she never had. When she gets released, she wants to work hard to not reoffend because she wants my grandparents to be proud of her. And doing so makes her want to do better. One of the best ways to reduce the recidivism rate is to support them. If prisoners know that there's a community surrounding them, then they are more likely to become productive members of society again. An organization here in Winnipeg that does work like this is called Initiatives for Just Communities. It's originally founded by Mennonite Central Committee, and according to the purpose statement, IJC works with those incarcerated, helping them to learn to make good choices and achieve a better quality of life for themselves and their communities. They have two programs that work with those who are or have been incarcerated. They run a program called Open Circle, which is a prison visitation program. Volunteers get trained, and then they spend time with prisoners and build relationships with them. And this building of a community around them creates communities that support a healthy return to society. A second program IJC runs is called Circles of Support and Accountability. Here, volunteers actively work with recently released prisoners as they reintegrate into society. They provide support, helping them to find jobs and encouraging them to fulfill the requirements of parole. Prisoners ask for help to live better lives and are given support groups who walk with them during this hard transition. Both of these programs are acts of mercy that promote trust. But it is still possible to fail and make unhealthy choices. These programs create opportunities for prisoners to succeed. They are making the road to freedom wider, though the former inmates still have a choice to make. If you are interested in participating in or supporting these ministries, there are some pamphlets on the back table next to the turkey dinner sign-up sheet that you should also look at. So in conclusion, God extends trust, knowing that we will make mistakes, but still gives us a chance to live faithfully in all of our relationships. And in all of our relationships, personal and civil, we should extend this trust to others.
In a world dark and cold, night so still, winter's chill, one bright star was shining on a bed made of hay. In a manger he lay. The shepherds came, they knew his name. King of kings, a brand new day. They saw the light in the darkness. It shines on love and tenderness. It brings out the hope that's in all of us. May it shine its light on you this Christmas night. On this Christmas day, may that starlight your way. This Christmas Eve, I still believe that same star still shines on me. And I saw the light in the darkness. it shines on love and tenderness. It brings out the hope that's in all of us. May it shine its light on you this Christmas night. May it shine its light on you this Christmas night.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. And just before we do the benediction and have our closing song, just wanted to make sure that in your calendars, December 24th obviously is circled. The children downstairs are working very hard on their portion. The choir is working very hard on their portion of our Christmas Eve service. And just a little change from previous years, it will be at 6:30, starting at 6:30. This year on the 24th.
May our love overflow with more and more, with full knowledge and insight to help us determine what is best. We are confident of this, that the one who began a good work among us will bring it to completion for the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand for the closing hymn, number 55 in the Gesangbuch, O du Fröhliche.
Oh,